From Pacifica, this is Democracy Now!
Getting caught up in international terrorism, being taken to Guantanamo, then becoming the focus of the world as an evil person, this was beyond my wildest thoughts.
The Uyghurs of Guantanamo, long determined not to be guilty of terrorism against the United States, 17 of these ethnic Muslim Chinese are still imprisoned at Guantanamo after almost 8 years. 5 were forcibly resettled in Albania. We'll speak with their lawyer and the frontline reporter who followed their story. Then we look at Obama's first military action as president, an unmanned drone attack that killed 22 people in Pakistan, including 3 children. And what of Obama's new rules for lobbyists?
As of today, lobbyists will be subject to stricter limits than under any other administration in history.
Yet several former lobbyists are set to play key roles in the new administration. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. President Obama signed his first piece of legislation into law reversing a Supreme Court ruling that blocked women from filing pay discrimination lawsuits. The Lilly Ledbetter Fair Pay Act is named for a female employee of the Goodyear Tire and Rubber Company who was paid 40% less than male colleagues doing the same job. Ledbetter lost her suit against Goodyear after the court ruled she did not file a complaint on time.
This is only the beginning. I know that if we stay focused, as Lilly did, and keep standing for what's right, as Lilly did, we will close that pay gap, and we will make sure that our daughters have the same rights, the same chances, and the same freedoms to pursue their dreams as our sons.
Meanwhile, President Obama's criticized Wall Street following news financial executives received an estimated $18.4 billion in bonuses last year. The average payout amounted to $112,000 each.
At a time when most of these institutions were teetering on collapse and they are asking for taxpayers to help sustain them, and when taxpayers find themselves in the difficult position that if they don't provide help, that the entire system could come down on top of our heads, that is the height of irresponsibility. It is shameful.
Although bonuses declined from 2007, the $18.4 billion equaled the same amount paid in 2004. Meanwhile, here in New York, Major League Baseball's New York Mets are facing calls to cancel a $400 million stadium naming rights deal with Citigroup. Congress members Dennis Kucinich of Ohio and Ted Poe of Texas are demanding the annulment of a contract naming the new Mets stadium Citi Field. Kucinich said, quote, "It's totally unacceptable that Citigroup should be able to spend $400 million in naming rights when they're the recipients of a massive federal bailout." A new study found the lobbying industry pulled in record amounts last year. The Center for Responsive Politics says special interest groups paid lobbyists $3.2 billion in 2008, the most ever on record, and a 13% increase from 2007. The total amounts to more than $17 million for every day Congress was in session last year. We'll have more on lobbying later in the broadcast. The Senate has passed a measure expanding government health insurance for low-income children. The $33 billion state children's health insurance program, known as SCHIP, would be funded in part by a tax increase on cigarette packs. The House passed its version of the SCHIP expansion earlier this month. Former President George W. Bush twice vetoed similar measures, but President Obama has vowed to sign it into law. In Illinois, Governor Rod Blagojevich has been removed from office in a unanimous impeachment vote. On Thursday, the state Senate voted 59-0 to impeach Blagojevich for abuse of power. Blagojevich was indicted last year on bribery and wire fraud charges. The allegations included trying to sell President Obama's vacant Senate seat to the highest bidder. The impeachment vote came shortly after Blagojevich ended his boycott of the proceedings and tried to plead his case.
There is no evidence before your body here that shows, no evidence, zero, that there was any wrongdoing by me as governor. And again, if you give me a chance to be able to bring witnesses in, I can show you not only that I didn't do anything wrong, I can show you that I did a lot of things that were mostly right, and that some of the things that are being said about me simply aren't true.
Illinois Lieutenant Governor Pat Quinn has taken over from Blagojevich as Illinois governor. The Israeli government submitted its most recent peace offer to Palestinian negotiators would still leave more than 200,000 Jewish settlers in the occupied West Bank. The offer was made in talks between Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert and Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas. In meetings with the U.S. envoy George Mitchell, both Olmert and Abbas confirmed the Israeli offer would remove just 60,000 settlers of the 290,000 in the West Bank. The remaining 230,000 settlers would stay in the large settlement blocks that nearly cut the West Bank in half. Not a single Palestinian refugee would be granted the right to return to their former home in Israel. Palestinians were offered an equal amount of Israeli land in return and shared sovereignty over parts of East Jerusalem. But the settlements are widely considered illegal under international law and a non-starter for many Palestinians. Palestinian negotiators reportedly refused a demand to sign off on the deal that would then be handled by the winner of the upcoming Israeli elections. Former Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is leading polls and has rejected any territorial concession to the Palestinians. And even though the offer would still ensure Israeli control over key settlement blocks, Netanyahu's opponent, Israeli Foreign Minister Tzipi Livni, has distanced herself from the proposal as being too generous. Livni said, quote, "I will advance only an agreement that represents our interests. Maintaining maximum settlers in places that we hold dear, such as Jerusalem, not a single refugee will enter." Meanwhile, Mitchell continued his Mideast tour with meetings in the occupied West Bank. On Thursday, Mitchell sat down with Abbas and Ramallah.
To be successful in preventing the illicit trafficking of arms into Gaza, there must be a mechanism to allow the flow of legal goods, and that should be with the participation of the Palestinian Authority. President Obama has also underlined our commitment to a better future for all Palestinians whose legitimate aspirations for an independent and viable state should be met.
George Mitchell's visit comes amidst reports the Israeli government's deliberately hid its own data showing rapid construction in West Bank settlements. The Israeli newspaper Haaretz reports an internal government survey found construction in 3 out of 4 settlements was conducted without proper permits and in many cases on private Palestinian land. The Israeli group Shalom Achshav, Peace Now, said this week settlement expansion grew 57% last year. Palestinian negotiator Saab Erekat said Abbas told Mitchell that Israel's blockade of Gaza and its expanding West Bank settlements are the main obstacles to peace.
For the Israelis to continue their settlement activities and at the same time to continue trying to separate between the West Bank and Gaza, because we believe that the Israeli attacks and aggression against Gaza, one of the objectives is to keep the West Bank separated from Gaza. And this cannot stand. A West Bank, the Gaza Strip and East Jerusalem are a single territorial unit. That's the territory of the Palestinian state. And we will spare no effort, as President Abbas told Mr. Mitchell, to pursue, with the assistance of our Egyptian brothers, the path of national reconciliation.
George Mitchell won't be traveling to Gaza as the Obama White House continues the Bush administration's boycott of the democratically elected Hamas government. In Gaza, Hamas leader Ismail Haniyeh urged Obama to break with Bush policy. The UN, meanwhile, has launched a new humanitarian appeal to help rebuild Gaza and aid victims of the Israeli attack. UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon spoke from the gathering of business leaders in Davos, Switzerland.
The population were already vulnerable because of so many months of severely restricted supplies. That is why the humanitarian flash appeal for Gaza that we are announcing today is so timely and so important. With the help of this $613 million appeal, the United Nations and other aid agencies can jump into action to help the 1.4 million civilians in the Gaza Strip to recover.
In other news from Davos, Turkish Prime Minister Tayyip Erdogan walked out of a panel discussion on Thursday after a heated exchange with the Israeli President Shimon Peres. Erdogan had tried to respond to Peres' defense of Israel's attack on Gaza.
Öldürmeye gelince siz öldürmeyi çok iyi bilirsiniz.
You killed people. I remember the children who died in the beaches. And I remember two former prime ministers in your country who said they felt very happy when they were able to enter Palestinian territories in tanks. And they felt very satisfied with themselves. I find it very sad to see the people applaud what you have said, because there have been so many people who have been killed. And I think that is very wrong. And it's not humanitarian to applaud any actions that have had that kind of result.
The Turkish Prime Minister Erdogan was cut off by debate moderator Washington Post reporter David Ignatius, but he later angrily continued his response.
When they fired against us, we replied, but after a great restraint, and thousands of people were killed too. They weren't killed in a concentrated manner, so what? Doesn't matter.
We've already gone well past our closing time. Mr. Prime Minister, with apologies to Prime Minister Erdogan.
1 minute. 1 minute. 1 minute.
Well, you know.
1 minute. Almost. 1 minute.
Okay.
The last person who was speaking, the Israeli President Shimon Peres. In Iraq, the State Department is searching for a replacement to the private military company Blackwater Worldwide. Iraq announced this week it won't renew Blackwater's license to guard U.S. personnel and installations. The U.S. says it'll comply with the order and has already spoken to the company's DynCorp International and Triple Canopy. Five Blackwater guards were charged last month for the September 2007 mass shootings of 17 unarmed civilians in Baghdad's Nisour Square. In France, more than 1 million workers took to the streets nationwide in a general strike against the French government's response to the global financial crisis. The strike was the largest in Western Europe to date since the crisis unfolded last September. Critics say French President Nicolas Sarkozy's $33 billion recovery program has favored banks over workers. In Brazil, the Ninth World Social Forum continues in the Amazon city of Belém. On Thursday, a panel of Latin American presidents criticized the U.S. for its role in the financial crisis and its double standards in allowing massive state intervention in financial markets. Ecuadorian President Rafael Correa spoke alongside Venezuela's Hugo Chavez, Paraguay's Fernando Lugo, and Bolivia's Evo Morales.
Los culpables de la crisis.
The guilty parties in this crisis try to give lessons on morality and good